Good morning, everybody. Boker Tov. I hope everybody is changing gear after Tisha B'Av, looking forward, Be'ezrat Hashem, to Elul coming over the horizon. And as I said to you last week, what I'd like to do is to change the topic a little bit. And in honor of the wedding that, please God, we're making for my daughter in a couple of weeks, my mind has gone to wedding mode a little bit. And it's not just about running around and organizing and writing checks. It's also about learning Torah. So I would like to deal with three topics, which I think should be very interesting to people. And the first today is this issue of mixed seating at weddings. There is more to this than meets the eye. And I brought you a long source sheet. We may not get a chance to do all of the sources, but it raises questions about men and women and mixing of men and women and whether the way we look at these things has changed in our modern society where men and women are much more integrated than ever they were. And therefore, I think we need to use this topic, if you like, as a paradigm to try and deal with this question of how do we deal with the halachic process in light of changing modern times? A few introductory thoughts. First of all, everybody knows that to daven in a shul, you need a mechitza. Exactly where we learn that from, we're going to talk about, please God, in a future shiur. But a mechitza is necessary for a shul. But does that apply to other things in a shul which are not tefillah? Let's say you had a shiur in a shul. Do you have to have men and women sitting separately because it's in a shul? That we're not going to deal with so much today, but it's a relevant question. What about events that are not in a shul? For example, a suda shel mitzvah. You're having a bar mitzvah or something, or a wedding meal. Does that require separate seating because men and women are mixed together, but it's not in a shul? What about if it's a completely secular event, if it's a fundraiser dinner, if it's a concert? Is there any halachic requirement for there to be separate seating? And in specific terms on weddings, because weddings lend themselves to what we'll see soon is defined as kalut rosh. Everybody's getting excited, there's a bit of alcohol, there's a lot of young people mixing together. Does that change the analysis of how we deal with the men and the women? So let's have a look, first of all, and look in the Gemaras to see where this is dealt with, and we'll take it through chronologically, through the Gaonim, through the Rishonim, through the Achronim to the modern-day Poskim, and we'll hopefully deal with this in detail. I'm sorry if everyone doesn't have a sheet, but if you can share, if you don't have, I'm sure that'll work out. There are two precedents in the Gemara. There's what I've called the Sukkot precedent and the Pesach precedent, and they seem to point in different directions. Let's have a look at the Sukkot precedent, which is the famous one. The Mishnah in Sukkah, source number one, says, "B'motzei Yontif Rishon Shel Chag." At the end of the first day of Sukkot, and don't forget there are hundreds of thousands of people in Yerushalayim for Sukkot, the Beit HaMikdash is standing, they're here for the celebrations. So at the end of the first day of Yom Tov, Yardu LeEzrat Nashim, they sent people down into the Ezrat Nashim, the women's courtyard, which was part of the temple complex, the big square courtyard. U'metaknin sham tikkun gadol. And they put up there, at the end of first day Yom Tov, a tikkun gadol. They made a big construction, a big change there. What was the tikkun gadol that they made in the lead-up to Chol HaMoed Sukkot? So have a look in number two here. The Gemara asked, B'motzei Yom Tov, my tikkun gadol? What was the big change that they made at the end of Chag, or the end of the first day of Chag? Amar Rabbi Elazar says the following. Ka'oseh Shishaninu, it's just like we taught. Chalaka hayta b'rishona. The Ezrat Nashim originally was chalaka, it was smooth, meaning there was no balcony there. The hikifu gezustra. But then they put up a gezustra. A gezustra is a balcony coming out of the walls. They put up some kind of structure there, temporary structure. The hitkinu, and they made there a takona. Sheyu nashim yoshvot milamala. That the women will sit on the top level of the balcony. The anashim milamata, and the men will sit below. That's what they did for Chol HaMoed. Tana Rabban, and it brings a bright to explaining the evolution of this process of construction. Originally, and don't forget the problem they're dealing with here is you have on Yom Tov a very large number of men and women together. The assumption I think here is most of the rest of the year, first of all there were far less people generally, and there were less women. Not all the women schlepped to Yerushalayim all the time. In the winter time, it was a long way. Often people had other things to look after. Even women who would have babies didn't go to bring their korban the week, 2 weeks, month after they had the babies. They delayed it till Yom Tov, when the family's going anyway for Aliyah LeRegel. So you had a lot of people and a lot of women and men together. So originally they kept the women inside Bifnim. They tried to do some arrangements where the women stood in the middle to watch what's going on, because it's a Simchas Beis HaShoeva. They're all there to watch the water pouring. They had the women in the middle and the men around the outside. But it didn't help, because it was Kalut Rosh. We'll have to define what this Kalut Rosh was. But whatever it was, it didn't help. Fine, so they changed their mind. So they said, let's flip it around. Let the women sit on the outside, and the men sit on the inside. And it still didn't help. There was still Kalut Rosh. So the Brisa says, therefore, so they decided to invest in this big superstructure, and they put the women on the top, and that apparently worked. Now, the question we're going to have to ask ourselves is, what does it achieve by building a balcony? What does that enable us to avoid? Is it that the women and the men can't mingle, which obviously they can't if they're sitting one above the other, or is it that they can't see each other? Which is it? Because we've all been in shuls with balconies where everyone can see everybody, but no one can mingle because they're separated. So we'll deal with that too. So they build the balcony. So the Gemara first asks, Heichi Avid Hachi, how could they possibly do that? How could they change the structure of the Mikdash? The Haksiv, isn't it written in Divrei Hayomim, when David HaMelech gives over the plans to Shlomo HaMelech for the Bet Mikdash that he's worked out through his life with Shmuel and Gad and Nathan and Navi? It says there in Divrei Hayomim, V'hakol b'chtav miyad Hashem alai. It was all written down from Hashem, brought down on me through the Nevuah, Kol Melachot Hatavnit, all of the construction of the Bet Mikdash, and you can't change it. It all comes through Nevuah. So the answer was, Amarav Krash Gechuva Dorish. The rabbis found a posik, and they learned that posik. And this was a verse that we saw a few weeks ago when we talked about Mashiach ben Yosef. Interestingly, it comes up in both. What was the posik in Zechariah? When Mashiach ben Yosef dies, in the future, it's saying, V'saftu ha'aretz mishpachot mishpachot levad, and they will make this hesped, all of the families separately, mishpachat beit David levad, v'neshehem levad. The men and the women, all separate, says the Gemara. Amru, the rabbi said, haloi dvarim kal v'chaymer. It's a kal v'chaymer, it's an eifor teori, all the more so. Mala asked lavoi, if in the future, at the end of day, she'oskim behesped, and they're in the funeral, they're doing a hesped, the Ein Yetzahara Sholeh for him, and there is not such a big Yetzahara at the funeral. People are in a depressed mood at a funeral. Amra Torah, but the Psikim nevertheless says, Anashim Levad V'Nashim Levad, men and women have to stand separately. Achshav, here, She'oskim B'Simcha, when we're dealing with a Simcha, the Yetzahara Sholeh for him, and there's a Yetzahara, which is in the Simcha, Al Achad Kama V'Kama. All the more so, meaning when there's young people and happiness and simcha and even alcohol, all the more so that it has to be separated. So that's where they get the idea of the separation at Sukkot. Now we have to ask ourselves a few questions. Like I said before, first of all, is it about mingling or is it about seeing? Second of all, this was a Bet Mikdash. We can see how you can derive from this mechitza in a shul, okay? We can see how we can go from the Beis HaMikdash to the shul. Because there is a prohibition of Kalut Rosh in the Mikdash and in a shul. But how does this apply to a simcha outside a shul? Maybe there's no issur of kalut rosh. Maybe it's just something we wish to avoid. Is it quite the same stringency as being in the Beis HaMikdash? A mazik kalut rosh, we'll see that soon. Also, what did they do the rest of the year? How did they deal with the Beis HaMikdash the rest of the year? They didn't have a structure, so presumably the men and the women worked it out somehow. They mixed, or did they not mix, or could they keep them separate some other way? We need to think about that as well. And therefore, what I want you to do is turn over the page, and first of all, we'll answer the question on mixing or seeing. The Mishnah in Midot, which is describing all the layouts of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah in Midot in number 3 makes it very clear that the issue was not seeing, but was mingling. Have a look at number 3. The Chalakah Haita Barishona is describing the Ezrat Nashim. Originally it was smooth. The Hekifua Kesustera, and then they built this balcony. Shehanashim Ro'ot Milamala, that the women could see from the top. the anashim lemata, and the men could see from the bottom. Why? Says the Mishnah explicitly, kedei shelo yihyu mu'uravim. So they wouldn't mingle. The issue with mingling, the kalut ros presumably is an issue of once men and women are mingling, so you have a whole flirtatious atmosphere, and that leads to kalut ros. And indeed, that's what the Rambam says. Number four, Ketzad Hayu Oisin Erev Yom Tov Rishon Hayu Mitaknim Migdash Mokam LeNashim Milamala. On the end of the Yom Tov Rishon, they would make this place above, LeNashim Lamata, and the men below. He says, Kedei Shelo Yitarvu Elu Im Elu. So they wouldn't mix with each other. Yes. Okay. Wait. According to this, it's about mixing. And the Meiri says the same thing in source 5. He says the whole problem is that there'd be an irubuvia. An irubuvia is a big mix-up mess. Now, according to this, there doesn't seem to be a problem with people seeing each other, just mixing. Yes. Meaning you don't want it, you wouldn't allow it. Meaning in the Beis HaMikdash where there's an atmosphere of awe and reverence, is that what you're saying? There's even more of a problem at a wedding when you don't, absolutely. Now, your question comes in number 6. The Rambam on the Perush HaMishnah, even though the Rambam clearly says in the Yad HaZakah it's about mixing, on the Perush HaMishnah he says differently. Look in number 6, this is Perush on Sukkah. Shehayu machinim makom lenashim umakam gadur leanashim. Interesting. They made a place for the women and a place gadur leanashim. And the men were locked up. Okay. Umakom hanashim lamala. The place for the women was over at the top. Al makom hanashim gevor mimenu. It was over and above the place for the men. Look what he says. Kedei shelo yistaklu haanashim benashim. He gives a different reason completely. He says it's not because of mixing only, it's because we don't want the men to look at the women. And that way, because the women are above them, they won't be able to see them, and therefore the men are not looking at the women. And if you look in the Tosfos Yontif on the Mishnah, the Tosfos Yontif picks up on the Rambam, and he really gives a very extreme picture, which we'll have to see how that fits today. Look at the Tosfos Yontif. Tosfos Yontif is Rav Yontif Lipman Heller. He lived in the 18th century in Poland. Look at what he writes on the Mishnah. Perusha Rambam. He brings the Rambam we just saw, Kedei Shelo Yistaklu Anashim Benashim. The Hadinimo, and that's how we paskin. It's not just about mixing, he says it's about looking. Ki Anashim Shelamata Hayu Haro'im B'Simcha Lo Asmechim Atzmam. Because the men who were at the bottom watching the Simcha, they weren't the people taking part in the Simcha. The people taking part in the Simcha were the Tzadikim and the Zikanim, etc. The men were spectators well out of the way from the women. So Amnam Histaklut Hanashim Benashim, because if the men look at the women, what will happen? Maybe Lidei Kalat Rosh. That will be the Kalat Rosh. Why? Because it's not just about the mixing, it's about the whole idea of the men getting all excited by the women being there. And it says, Ki hu yimshol bachtiv, because the men, once they see the women, they go into kind of male mode, okay? Va'od mishum kishu ledat, and they'll become sexually aroused. The Shema Yirakeri, this is very extreme. They will be extremely sexually aroused by seeing the women. Kol Shekem B'chasrot Beis Hashem. All the more so that we should try to avoid this in the temple. Interestingly, he kind of turns your point on its head. And it says, if we can't rely on the temple to stop this, we have to be extra careful in the temple because it's bad enough this happens in the street, but if it happens in the Beit Hamikdash, it's even worse. So he seems to definitely understand the Kalat Rosh to be something about seeing each other. And by the way, in terms of machitza in shul, we're not dealing with this now. This is a big machlokas between the modern-day poskim. Some of them, such as Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Yechiel Weinberg, the Sri Leish, paskin, it's really about mixing. And therefore, even if you can see through the machitza, it's still a good machitza. It may not be the most ideal machitza, but it's good, halachically valid. Some shuls even have a complete glass machitza. If you've been to Lincoln Square Synagogue in America, I'm sure you have the old shul and the new shul. There's a glass machitza you can really see. According to those poskim that say it's about mixing, then that's fine. In one-way glass. Okay, so even the one-way glass is not that one-way. In Beit Shemesh they have, in Ramat Beit Shemesh rather, they have a very good one-way glass system in Ahavat Zion. But if you've ever been to shul in the United Synagogue shuls in England, which I'm sure many of you have, they're all balconies. I'm sure it's true in America in the old shuls as well. You can see everything. There are no curtains. The men can see the women and the women can see the men. And according to those poskim that say it's about mixing, that's fine. According to others, such as the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Shmuel Vosner, it's about seeing, and therefore that's why they put the curtains in, and that's why they have the screens, etc., because it's not just about mixing, it's about seeing. Correct. So on the issue of mechitza, there is still a debate. The question is, when it comes to weddings, how is this going to affect weddings? And if it does, do we need a separation at weddings so that people don't mix? Or do we need a mechitza so that people can't see each other? Or do we need to have people in separate rooms? And we're going to see how that works right now. Now, we also have to ask the question, we have to ask a very important question, which is the Tosfos Yom Tov painted a very extreme picture that if men come into contact with women, they will become very excited by this. Is that true still today?
No.
Meaning, obviously men are still men, they haven't biologically changed over the thousands of years, but the society has changed, and people have much more interaction now. Can we take that as a factor into account and say, well look, maybe back in the day when people never saw anyone other than their immediate family, this was a concern. But today, this is not a concern. Or do we say, no, lo plug. Lo plug means that often when Chazal made takanot or gezerot, they didn't distinguish between this case and that case, and yes and no. Let me give you an example, even though according to most poskim, this is a Torah law, not a rabbinic law. In Shomer Negiah, we don't start differentiating between, well, you know, I'm more attracted to this person, not to that person, therefore I'll touch this person, not touch that person, I like young people, I like older people, I like brunettes, and blah, 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 forget that. It's not relevant. We just say generally, you can't touch anybody, irrespective of whether you feel that there is an attraction or not. Obviously, in Shomer Negiah, if there's clearly a context where there's no sexual context at all, I'm not getting into this now, maybe in business meetings and handshakes, it's not for now. But we don't usually differentiate. So are we going to differentiate here? So that's a question we'll get back to. The second precedent is what I've called the Pesach precedent. And this is very different. Have a look at what Chazal say in number 8. There's a Mishnah in Pesach that says, it's talking about eating Korban Pesach. Now, switch gear, we're not in Sukkot anymore, we're on Seder night. And everybody is sitting around eating Korban Pesach together. And there's a rule for Korban Pesach. You have to eat with your group. You have to eat in your chabura. If you break from your chabura, or even if you look as though you're breaking from your chabura, that invalidates your Korban Pesach. You have to stick with your group. So look what it says in 8. The hakala, but if there's a kala there, hofechet et paneha ve'ochelet. She can turn the other way and face away from the group while she's eating her Korban Pesach, even though that's not something that people would normally be allowed to do. You have to be part of the group. You can't face out from the group. Why? What's with the kala? Look at the Gemara. Number 9. Says the Gemara, ha-kala hofechet et paneha. My timer. What is the reason, says the Gemara? Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So the answer as follows. Mitnei shehi vosha. She's embarrassed. Why is she embarrassed? Says Rashi. Le'echol le'enei ha'anashim. She's embarrassed to eat in the sight of all the men, al yedei, because she mistaklimba, because they're all looking at her, because she's the kala, and she's special, and everyone's going, ooh, look, that's the kala, look, that's the kala, and she sees all these men around, because Korban Pesach was many families together, and a number of different people were looking at her. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein says with a brilliant touch, you see from this Gemara that they clearly have no problem with the men and the women sitting together for the Korban Pesach. He learns it out like that, very interestingly. Nowhere does it suggest, whoa, why was the kala sitting at the table with men? Chas v'shalom, there should have been no mixing. No, he takes it as bread. The men and the women sat together to eat Korban Pesach, and therefore the kala gets a special dispensation. She can turn away from the crowd a little bit so that she doesn't feel embarrassed. So you see there that it could be that eating a meal together, at least on Korban Pesach, there is no problem of mixing. Let's have a look and see where this goes. Throughout the period of the Gaonim, there isn't much discussion about this. There is one source which is fairly obscure, which is not recorded by the later poskim, but I brought in number 10. And it brings up the issue as follows. Look at number 10 on page 3. Are people allowed to go to a wedding? All a gimlut chasadim, some kind of a meal. I don't exactly know what a suda's gimlut chasadim was. Maybe a local charity meal, raising money, whatever, in the time of the Gaonim. V'yochlu b'suda ha'anashim im anashim mu'ravavim. Are they allowed to have the men and the women sitting in the wedding meal? Ask the direct question. So have a look what it says. Second line, number 10. Kach ha'mase. This is the answer he says. Im bizman she'anashim yoshvot ka'acha b'tnei asma v'anashim b'tnei asma mutarim al manas shelo yimazgu anashim l'anashim v'anashim l'anashim. Says if the men and the women are sitting separately, that's okay, so that the men won't be pouring for the women, and the women won't be pouring drinks for the men. V'chein b'chiluk hamanos v'hapaparot. Similarly, when they're handing out the food, we don't want the women handing the food to the men, and the men handing the food to the women. Aval asurim heim b'suda bizman sheheim urvavim elu ve'elu. It says, but if they're eating together, this is osa. It's prohibited, it says. V'ha'anashim v'ha'anashim. She'asur lo la'adam lehitarev im anashim b'suda. Because it's not allowed for a man to be at a mixed meal with another woman, said the Gaonim, chutz me'achoyte, maybe apart from his sister, v'achot aviv, maybe his aunt is okay, v'achot imo, or his sister on his mother's side, v'achot ishto, or his sister-in-law, okay? But then, even then, al menachet tehi ishto b'suda, but only if his wife's there as well, shehi m'shemartoi min ha'avera, because she will guard him from doing any avera. She'll say to him, stop looking at my sister and look at your food instead. So interestingly, the Gaonim seem to answer this question and say, no mixed meals unless you're with your immediate family, and even then, only with the man's wife there, because he needs a certain amount of shmira. But as I said, this is not a well-known source, and it doesn't really find its way into the poskim. When we go into the Rishonim, there's another slightly less well-known source, and we'll get into a more famous source in a minute, which is something called the Sefer HaParadeis. Many people probably haven't heard of the Sefer HaParadeis. It's one of the school of Rashi in the Ashkenazi world in the early Middle Ages. It was 12th century. He says as follows, number 11. And he really quotes the Gaonim. Asur li tarev nashim im ha-nashim. Men and women are not allowed to mix together. Bein besuda, bein bekolinyan. Whether it's at a meal, whether it's at anything. And we have to ask this question about like concerts and museums, whatever it is. Men and women, he says, shouldn't be mixing at all. El anashim levad, va anashim levad, mikal v'chomer, and he brings the kal v'chomer from the hesped that we read before. If at the hesped that's a problem, then all the more so at a wedding. And he says at the end, v'hamishter, v'haschok, al achas v'kam. Hakama v'kama. All the more so with a mishter where there's alcohol. Don't forget a mishter is called a mishter because its basis is drink rather than food. The difference between a suda is food with a bit of drink, and a mishter is a lot of drink with a bit of food to wash it down. Okay? And therefore he says that's all the more so. So these sources seem fairly clear. Mixing is not on the menu. The first source really that makes it into the mainstream, however, is number 12. Number 12 is Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid. Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid in the Sefer Hasidim, he was a well-known Ashkenazi Rishon from what they call the Piety School, from the Hasidei Ashkenaz. Now, we don't mean Hasidim in the modern sense of Hasidim. This was still already in the 13th century. But he wrote a very famous Sefer called the Sefer Hasidim, and also he wrote the Tzava. He wrote a very well-known will where he gives all sorts of interesting instructions to his family, some of which found their way into mainstream halakha. So we'll see what he says. And here he brings the issue which became famous. Number 12. If you're at a wedding and therefore you're going to make a special addition to the zimun, the rabotayin of Arech, and you're going to say shehasimcha b'ma'onoi, there is simcha in God's dwelling because of this wedding, meaning this wedding gives nachas on high, whatever that means. If you're going to say that, says the Sefer Hasidim, tzarech lachkor, you have to check very carefully. Im kimu v'gilu b'ra'adah. A pasuk, v'gilu b'ra'adah, celebrate b'ra'adah. What does ra'adah mean? In fear. Meaning your gila has to still be in a context of awe. In ra'adah b'makom gila, are you respecting that atmosphere of seriousness even in your celebration? Aval im lo keach adam isha she'enu haguna. And he gives a list of situations which are bad. If a man takes a wife who is enu haguna, which is not, it's not a good wife to take. Or he lokachat isha eino hagon, or she marries a badun, she marries a bad guy. Or shnehem eino hagunim, or both of them are bad. You would have thought it's a good shidduch if both of them are not good. But no, that's even worse. Or, he says, Ein tarbut sham, there's no culture, there's no nice atmosphere, the nivul peb nehem, and it's a vulgar environment. Or, nashim yoshvot bein anashim, or there are women sitting together with the men, shehuhurim sham, which means there will be inappropriate thoughts. Lo yitachen levaresh sheasimcha b'mano. You cannot make the bracha sheasimcha b'mano. You might be at a wedding, you might have a chasen and a kala, but you cannot say that, because that kind of gathering doesn't bring nachas to Shemayim. And then he says, kol mitzvah ba'ba aveira, any mitzvah which only comes about through an aveira, va'al yadam mutav shelo yaseh, it's better that you shouldn't do it. Yaseh ha-mitzvah. Kamo mitzvah l'tameh chasen v'kala, just as a mitzvah here is l'tameh chasen v'kala. Then yesh pritzim, if you know for a fact in advance that there's going to be inappropriate behavior, or einu yochel liyod b'lo hirhur, or you can't be there without being inappropriately affected, he says, or einu yochel liyod milirot b'nashim, or you can't avoid looking at the women, al yesham, don't go, he says. Don't go. You can't do a mitzvah through doing an aveira, and this sefer Hasidim became very well known. Now, a few things. First of all, does he say that you can't have mixed seating, or does he say if you have mixed seating, then you can't say Shasimcha b'ma'ayna? He says, clearly he doesn't like the idea of mixed seating. He puts it together with all of those other inappropriate things, although he doesn't explicitly say mixed seating is asur. He says it's a bad thing, and you can't say Shasimcha b'ma'ayna, but I think he means to say it's asur. Secondly, is that only where mixed seating will lead to inappropriate thoughts? What if it won't lead to inappropriate thoughts? Meaning, what's his close family? Would he still say the same thing about close family or not? Or is he saying that, look, anytime you have men and women together, it's bad news? And thirdly, a halachic question. We often do not paskin like the Sefer Hasidim. The Sefer Hasidim has some very strange things in it, some of which made their way into halach, and many of them didn't. For example, in the Tzavar of Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid, he says things like, you shouldn't marry a woman or a man who has the same name as your mother, okay? Which I think has made it into the mainstream. In fact, one of my rabbinic colleagues once told me a maisa. He said that there was a boy who was marrying out, and they tried everything to persuade him not to, and they asked the rabbi to get involved, and he says, look, what can I do? So he sat down with the boy, and he said, look, he went through this argument and that argument. The boy says, listen, rabbi, I understand, but I love her, and there's nothing I can do to stop this marriage happening. So he said, okay, what's her name? I can't remember exactly. He said, Rachel. And he said, and the rabbi said, ooh, isn't that your mother's name? So he goes, yeah, what's wrong with that? He goes, oh, it's very bad mazel for your mother if you marry this guy. And he called it off. Sometimes you can get to people with different arguments. And that's one thing that made it into the mainstream. He also says, for example, that you shouldn't shave on Rosh Chodesh or have a haircut. That's also brought down in halacha. Some people are particular about that, others are not. He, for example, is the one that said that two brothers shouldn't marry two sisters. Now, that we're not particular on, and there are many, many scenarios where two brothers marry two sisters. In my own family, actually, my wife's cousins, they have two sisters married to two brothers, and then what happened was the younger sister of the two brothers met the younger brother of the two sisters, I'm not making this up, and said, they came and said, we also want to get married. So then they had a big shaila. Okay, two brothers and two sisters, we're not bothered, we're not worried about Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid's issa. But three brothers and three sisters, like who, and they went through the whole chain of different poskim through London, through Rav Chaim Kanievsky, they went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky in Bnei Brak, and he said to them, I really don't know how to answer this shaila. You have to ask my father-in-law, Rav Eliashiv. And they went to Rav Eliashiv, and he had a whole audience with them, and he asked them the questions, and in the end he gave them a bracha, and he said, you can get married, and they did get married, but that's another story as to how he did that. So the question we're going to have here is, is this binding in halacha, or is it not binding in halacha? It's not like it's in the Rambam or the Shulchan Aruch. We'll see where we go with the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. Now, it is brought in some other Sfarim. I brought in number 13. Similarly, the Sefer Hamin Hagim from the 15th century brings that fact that you can't say Shiasimcha Mba'ayna. Go over the page. I don't want to look at all of them. Similarly, the Sefer Orchas Tzadikim. Orchas Tzadikim was a well-known Musa. Again, not a halacha Sefer, a Musa Sefer from the 15th century. We don't know exactly who wrote the Orcha Sadikim. It's written anonymously. But he says, look in number 14, Od Tov Lesameh Chasen Vakala. It's very good, he says, to bring Simcha to the Chasen Vakala. Uma'oid Yizahar. But you have to be very careful. Shelo Lesamcham B'nivulpeh. Not to let things get out of hand, vulgar, inappropriate. Ki Zot HaSimcha Hi Af V'Chema V'Keseh. Because that kind of simcha is explosive, negative. For lost simchat anashim v'nashim yachdav. Similarly, you have to be careful not to have the men and the women celebrating together. Ki zot ha-simcha hi kalut rosh. Because that's kalut rosh. Va'afilu b'shat ha-hesped. Even with a hesped, we're careful, and therefore all the more so with a simcha. Now, what are we going to do with all these sources? Because we haven't yet quoted any mainstream halachic binding sources. Let's have a look what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch never explicitly deals with this issue of mixed seating at weddings. He doesn't talk about it. However, he does talk about the following. Number 15. In Hilchas Yontef, okay, page 4, number 15. In Hilchas Yontef, the Shulchan Aruch says, Chayavim Beis Din Lahamid Shotrim, okay, Beregalim. The Beis Din has an obligation to appoint police, sneers police, okay, or people who are there in the background on Regalim, on the festival, shiyu meshotetim umachabsin beganot ubepardesim. They have to be looking around in the gardens, in the orchards, for alhanarot, and by down by the riverside. Shaloyis kapsu sham leechol velishdot anashim v'nashim. That they're not seeing these mixed groups forming of men and women together. This is in the Shulchan Aruch. V'yavolidei avera, and it'll only end in tears. They have to be careful with all the people. They shouldn't have mixed groups on simchas. They shouldn't have mixed alcohol groups. Because it's going to end up with aveira. They have to be kulam kedoshim. Okay. Now that he's not talking about weddings specifically, but maybe that covers everything. He's talking about Yontef, and maybe that's true of all things. And the Mishnah Berurah comes in there and says, still in that source, the Hine Be'emet, he says, really, Davar Zeh Hachiyuv Tamid L'Havhir V'Limchot Mishe Yesh V'Yado. Really, this applies all the time. And anyone who can stop this from happening, this mixing, then that's good. They should. Ela Sheberegel Matzoy Hakilkul V'Yotef. But it's just that on a regel, on a Yontef, it's worse. Because Yontef is much more of a high atmosphere, and therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, this really applies across the board, and may well be the source to prevent the mixing. And in fact, the Kaf HaChaim, who is a Sephardi posik from the 20th century, very famous, he brings this down explicitly about weddings. In number 16, he says, Be'emet, Chiyuv Zeh Shaych B'chol Eit Uzman. This applies at all times, She'yeshim Chakugoyim Be'erusin U'benisuin. This applies to weddings, it applies at engagements, Ubrit Mila, it applies to the Brit Mila, Ukadon, or anything like that, Shisarach, Limchot, Mishi, Shechelet, Biado, Sheloi, Tareva, Nashim, Venashim, Yachad, Dehainu, Bamachamech. We haven't seen many sources, in fact, we haven't seen any sources so far which say it's okay. Everybody so far seems to be saying that mixing is a bad thing, and it may well be if this issue of the Shulchan Aruch is applicable to weddings, then there you have it in the Shulchan Aruch. The Yamshel Shlomo, in the 16th century in Poland, says, he gives an interesting insight as to how they did things in Poland in the 16th century. Look in number 17. Uberoid mekomot, in most places around us, he says, hachatan v'hashoshvinin ochlim bebayit echad, the chosen and his crowd eat in one place. Now, bayit may not, that could be a building, different building, maybe different room. The hakala im shoshvinim bebayit acher, and the kala eats in a different room. Meaning, we think this today. Today is a modern day thing. No, the menag in Poland is, and this was pre chassidut. This was in the 1600s and 1500s. The menag is the men have the simcha in one room, the women in another room. Began the sefer chassidim, and he brings the sefer chassidim. We saw kasa she'ein levarech shasimcha b'me'ayna, and he says that you can't make the simcha b'me'ayna. Heichen shiyoshim v'nashim v'nashim v'cheda echad. Fine. Ki ha-satan mekatreg. The satan is there, the men and women together. Ve'ein simcha lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ani agever, and I give testimony, he says. Asher ra ani ami, I've seen the poverty of my people, she'kama kilkulin ba'u mizeh. I've seen many bad things happen as a result of this mixing. And by the way, this is a serious concern. Sometimes small amounts of mixing can lead to other things. There has to be a whole conversation recently in a neighborhood that I was involved in about people going for walks in the evening with other people's husbands and other people's wives, a very innocent apparent thing, just go for a walk around the neighborhood, I'm free, you're free, and this caused the breakdown of a number of different families because one thing leads to another, and therefore this is not something to be ignored. And he says, I've seen bad things. Umikal makom, nevertheless, he gives you one exception. When you make the brachas, the sheva brachas, the hainukos zayin brachot, shemolichin hakala b'mochem achafen. Bring the kala in the room when you're making the sheva brachas. I mean, don't say all the sheva brachas with the kala in a different room. Bring the kala in. The zayin brachas ala ikah has zivug, because the sheva brachas is really on the zivug. How can you have a zivug with only men in one room and the women in the other room? The chibur nitkala. It's on the chibur between the chafen. The kala in kein ra'oi levarech hashneyeh. So he says, fine, bring the kala in, but otherwise it has to be all separate. Now, again, this is brought in the Amshel Shlomo on his commentary on the Gemara. Interesting, the first real, like, halakha, other than the Shulchan Aruch we saw before, which is on Yom Tov, but may apply to weddings, the first, like, mainstream halakhic source that deals with this head-on in a sefer is, in fact, the Levush, in number 18, and here, for the first time, he says the opposite. This is the source you've been waiting for over there, okay, fine. Have a look at number 18. Who is the Levush? Rav Mordechai Yaffe. Rav Mordechai Yaffe was a very big posek in late 16th century Poland. He wrote, if you like, an alternative to the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch itself was very controversial when it first came out. Not everybody agreed with its methodology or its psak on certain issues, and therefore Rav Mordechai Yaffe wrote a sefer, if you like, giving an alternative to Shulchan Aruch. It was called the Levush. Look at what he writes in number 18, okay? Amru, the Sefer Chassidim. He first quotes the Sefer Chassidim, and he says, "Kol makom she'anashim v'nashim roin ze'ezek." It's even seeing each other here. It's not just mixing. Says he says, "Kegoyim b'tzudas nisuim ein levarach she'asimcha ben oina defi she'ein simcha lifnei Kodesh Baruch Hu k'sheyesh bo hihuri aveira." Adkan. He quotes the Sefer Chassidim. But look what he says now. "Ve'ein nisharim achshav b'zeh." But we're not worried about this anymore. It's interesting, he's only living 50 years after the Yamshel Shlomo, who reported that the minhag in Poland is that they have the men in one room and the women in another room, and he's seen bad things happen if you don't. He already says, we're not worried about this anymore. We have mixed weddings. Not mixed dancing, but mixed seating. The Esher, and he said it could be, Mishum da'achshav muragalot hanashim harbe beinanashim. He says, actually, we find that women and men mix a lot more than they used to do. Now, I don't know whether he's just reflecting a different group within society, or whether things changed over that 50 years significantly. The ein kan hihuri aveira kol kach. And he opens up this interesting argument. We don't really have this issue anymore, that just because the men are sitting with the women, they're going to explode. That's not going to happen. The damim alam kakachi chibur, because they seem to them like white geese. Now, where's he coming from with his white geese? More about that in a minute. Mitoich rov hergalam. He uses the word hergal, habituation. We're used to each other. The men are used to the women. They're not aroused by them. It's like white geese. Their name with caven to doshu, doshu. And since people already do this and they mix, so they mix. But that's now the new minhag. And therefore the Levush clearly writes that where he's coming from in Poland, people do have mixed weddings in terms of mixed seating. He says this is a minhag which is established. Before we get into the modern day psak as to which way we jump on this, let's just talk for a few minutes about his argument. Is habituation a relevant argument? Can you argue that now we're used to the mixing of the sexes, therefore there's not such an issue anymore? So this is an interesting question. Let me first of all bring you, turn to page 5 please, let me bring you the Gemara of the white geese and see what happened. Yes. Nachon, v'gam aval gam ha'anashim yicholim ladat im yesh lahem hiruri aver anashim yesh lahem aval anashim ken yesh gvarim ken az ze abaya ze lo rak hakodesh baruch ze ze gam gvarim. Look at number 19. Yes, sir.
Sorry, just as mixing can, let's say, lead to bad actions, the opposite is also true.
Yes,
that it can lead to good actions.
In today's world, it can.
Right.
Right. Absolutely. 100%. We live in a society today where men and women mix with each other in work, they mix with each other socially. Certainly the society of America, and maybe in Israeli and Hasidic societies, it's still very separate. Even in Haredi society in Israel, the women are in the workplace very, very extensively nowadays, mixing with men in a work environment. And the question is, to what extent we can take account of this. Have a look at number 90. Yes, true. It is one-on-one, and it's not in a simcha environment. It's not with alcohol, etc. And there may be big differences. Yes. Good. The women were up. They weren't dancing together. The women were dancing, and then were looking from a distance. Okay. Okay. Good. Good. Not just, but Tuba Av, not also on Yom Kippur, it says that they used to dance in the same way. But there maybe it's different. Maybe there it's the shiduchim, and therefore there are special exceptions that men are allowed to, even in a situation where they're not allowed to look at women, for shiduchim they are. And therefore this may be an argument that you could say that, and we'll see that in the modern day postgame, especially in America, they say that dafka today women and men, young singles, should be mixing at weddings, because that's exactly the place they can meet each other. Meaning maybe in terms of husbands and wives, like, okay, you really need to sit next to somebody else's wife at the dinner, get to that soon. But singles, maybe yes, we'll get there. First of all, let's look at the white geese, because I don't want to run out of time. Look at number 90. So it says here, Rav Gidl have a ragil to have a ka'azul v'yasiv ashari de tzvila. Rav Gidl used to sit outside the mikveh, amalhu, and he'd say to the women, hachi tavilu v'hachi tavilu. He'd teach them hilchas mikveh as they were going to the mikveh. He had like a little shir, a women's learning group going on, at the entrance to the mikveh. And as the women were going to the mikveh, he'd help them to get the halacha straight. So Amri le Rabbanu, to the rabbi, said to him, like Mr. Famar, Miyet Sahara, are you not worried that this is slightly inappropriate? Does this not affect you in any way? The women are going to the mikveh. It's one thing having a shir in the shul, but what, they're in the mikveh. Amalu, he said to the boys, Damien ba'apai kakaki chavi. To me, they just seem like white geese. Meaning, I'm not affected by that. I'm neutral on this. It doesn't bother me. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves is, well, okay, let's take Rav Gidl at his word. But is everybody a Rav Gidl? Can everybody say, well, you know, you can decide if it affects you or it doesn't affect you. Maybe it's only for tzaddikim. So, looking at the Sefer Mitzvot HaKatan in number 20. So, the smack was a well-known posik in the Balei HaTosfos. And he says in number 20, Shelo latur achar ha'ayim. There's an iser of lo tasuru achrei einechem, achrei levavchem v'achrei einechem. D'chsevat, it says achrei einechem. But Joshua Rabbeinu, zehu znut. This is sexual immorality. Shelo yistakel b'nashim l'shem znut. A man is not allowed to look at a woman with inappropriate intention. Even though there's another posik that says, guard yourself against bad things, and that's worried about looking at women inappropriately. That's talking about Sam looking at women, men looking at women, only from getting pleasure, but not inappropriate pleasure. But if you know, as a man says, now this is written for everybody, this is not just for tzaddikim. If you know, he says, that to you they are just like a beam of wood, we'll see where he's coming from with a beam of wood, or kakachi kaviri, or like the white geese, shari, it's okay. The Sefer Mitzvot HaKatan seems to open the door a little bit to this question of whether an individual can decide for themselves. Look, it doesn't bother me in the same way, therefore it's okay. And taken to extremes, we know this to be the case. If you're a doctor, the expectation is that you're a professional person, even though you come into contact with people of the opposite sex, often in situations which would otherwise seem compromising. It's not compromising because you have a professional practice, and that's not something that affects you. And therefore, there is this idea, it seems to be in halacha. What's with the beams of wood? Look in number 21, an interesting Gemara. Rav Acha Mar Kivleya Kasei Umurake. The Gemara in Ksuvas Yud Zayin is the famous Gemara Ketzed Meraklim Lifnei Hakala, and it goes through an entire daf of Gemara of all the shtick the people did at the weddings back in the time of the Gemara. This one used to juggle, and this one used to dance, and this one used to this. And it says, just like today, it says Rav Acha used to lift the bride on his shoulders and dance around the room. Now, some people say that he was on a chair, but okay, you know, it's not clear. But he used to dance around the room. Amnei Rabban, on the rabbis, the young rabbi said to him, Ama mahu lemiavid hachi, can we do that? Meaning, I don't know if they're asking him really a shaila, or if they're challenging him and they're saying, what would you say if I put the bride on my shoulders and dance around the room? Rabbi, how can you do that? So Amalahu, he answered them and he said, Idamyan alaychum kashura, if it feels just like a beam of wood, meaning if that's all you feel when the kalah's on your shoulders, l'chai, then gesuntahe. Ve'iloi, but if not, lo. Again, this idea that it may depend on the circumstances, and I'm not getting into all of the details, but the Shulchan Aruch in number 22 says here, he paskan sarich adam lehitrachek min hashim ma'od ma'od. He's very in favor of a very strict separation between men and women, and he gives all sorts of scenarios. A man shouldn't have a woman who is like serving food for him and washing his face, etc., etc. The Ramah at the end, I just want to read one line at the end in the Rashi script. He says, "V'yesh amrim dekol she'eino oseh derech chiba." But there is another approach that if it's not derech chiba, if you know that there's nothing inappropriate going on, rak kavanasa l'shem shamayim, and you know it's l'shem shamayim, muta, then it's okay. Therefore, we in Poland, he's saying, we're less strict about, and it's interesting, this mirrors a little bit what we saw in the Lavush, where he said that people are less strict about this. He opens up that question, and he says, maybe people are l'shem shamayim. Who knows if they're l'shem shamayim? That's a good question. And I brought you in 23, the Piskei Tshuva says, not everybody can say that they're l'shem shamayim. And he says, maybe only, he says, a chosid godel. And maybe not even that. Meaning we live in a world where all sorts of people have crossed all sorts of lines. And it's difficult, isn't it? Because on the one hand, we don't want this totally separate environment. On the other hand, we find the lines are sometimes crossed and not everybody can declare themselves to be l'shem shamayim and really be okay with that. So on this issue of habituation, there are voices in different directions. I'll give you, on page 6, I'll just maybe mention, and then we'll get into the final analysis, what I've brought you here. Rav Avadya Yosef here on source 24 is talking about Kol Isha, listening to women singing. And he quotes the Lavush, and he says, yes, I'm aware that there were societies in which they were more relaxed about mixing because they said it didn't cause a problem anymore. But he says, you can't compare all cases. Not all cases are the same. And therefore, with Kol Isha, he's very nervous about people making the argument, well, we're used to women singing, and therefore it doesn't bother us anymore. And therefore, he says, you can't apply that to Kol Isha. This, you should just know, has been a very big debate, and there are voices, and I brought you on the footnote a reference to an article by Rav Moshe Lichtenstein. In the IDF, in the Israeli army, they have, from time to time, they have ceremonies, tikkatim, where they have women singing. And then you have a big dilemma. Are all the religious soldiers, of which now there are many, Baruch Hashem, in the Israeli army, are they all going to walk out when the women are singing? And it's not like nightclub singing, it's a ceremony of some kind. The women are singing some kind of a tune relevant to the army ceremony. Are the religious soldiers all going to walk out? Thereby, people are going to get upset, and it causes offense, and it causes Chilul Hashem. On the other hand, how can they stay in when the women are singing? Or are they going to say, look, in this scenario, it's not the same as classical Kol Isha, etc. That's a debate which I'm not getting into now, but it's the same kind of issue. I brought you just in the last sources on this page, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and also the Tzitz Eliezer deal with the question, the Shulchan Aruch says that a man is not allowed to walk behind a woman, bashuk, in the marketplace. And both the Tzitz Eliezer and the Rav Shlomo Zalman says that's talking about a time when women didn't go out. Women were inside. He even brings up the Chasam Sofer, says that's why he didn't allow women to light Hanukkah candles, because they'd have to go into the street to light them, and women didn't go out of the house, interestingly. And therefore, both of them say that today this is just not the case anymore. Meaning there are more women in public places than there are men, depending on what time of day and where you go, etc. And therefore, they say it could be that therefore some of the classic halachas brought in Shulchan Aruch about not doing this and not doing that don't apply in the same way anymore. And therefore, this is a legitimate argument. You can't apply it across the board, but it is legitimate. For example, it says in Shulchan Aruch you're not allowed to give regards to another person's wife. Okay? That's osa. The question is, today, if I were to bump into someone in Berman's Baker and say, please give my best to your wife, is that in any way inappropriate, or does that imply any kind of chibah Not anymore. Maybe it depends how you say it. If you say, please give my fondest and warmest regard. Maybe there's a nusach which is not too great. But generally speaking, and this is brought down by the classic poskim, modern-day poskim, that they say that this may not apply. So let's get back to mixed weddings and see where we end up. Go please to page 7. We have 10 minutes. Let's deal with this now. Number 28, the Bach. Now, the Bach, the Beit Chadash Rav Yol Sirkus, he lived in Poland about 50 years after the Lavush. Remember, the Lavush said that we in our society have mixed weddings and it doesn't cause a problem. The Bach is not so happy with this. Look at number 28. The Krakow, Nohagim Shebesuda She'osim Beleil Beis, on the Sheva Brachas they make on the second night. Now, they used to get married on Fridays. It was absolutely standard. So the first night Sheva Brachas was on Shabbos. The second night Sheva Brachas was Motzei Shabbos. He said, we have a minhag in Krakow. On the second night Sheva Brachas, Mevarchin Asher Bara, we make the Bracha Asher Bara Asas on the Simcha, we do the Sheva Brachas. But we don't make the special edition Sheva Simcha Meme'ayno. He says, why would we do that? It's a very strange thing. I've not found a reason for this. This is the only thing I can think of, that this second meal is a small one. And the men and the women sit together in one room. And he brings the Sefer HaChassidim and the later posting we saw. Interestingly, he says they have the second Sheva Brachas and it is mixed. But it's okay because it's only a small gathering, but they won't say Shia Simcha B'ma'ayna because of this fact that with a mixed gathering you don't say Shia Simcha B'ma'ayna. But they didn't have a problem with a mixed gathering. Very interesting. It seems that they did have a mixed wedding, Sheva Brachas, but because it was mixed, they were careful not to say Shia Simcha B'ma'ayna. Right, correct. There's a problem not with the Sheva Brachas. There's a problem with just the words in the Zimun. Baruch She'achal M'Shia Simcha B'ma'ayna She'achal M'Shalom Tavo Chayim. Yes. Good. So in the second, number 29, he goes through how it works. He says on Shabbos, on the first night, they didn't have a problem. He says because Shalosh Sudas, first of all, he said, were separate. Okay? And Friday night and Shabbos morning, he says, was mixed, but it was only singles and therefore there was no problem. Which is very strange. It was very strange. And he explicitly says in number 29 that the problem really is with the marrieds mixing. The singles, he said, we have less of a problem for Huri Avera. It could be because they were very young. When he says singles, it means that, because what age did they marry then? 13, 14, etc. So when he says singles, maybe he's talking about 11, 12-year-olds. Or maybe they were just much more innocent in those days, and the singles were less likely to get involved in stuff than the married. But he seems to say that he goes through an interesting analysis of how they worked it. So throughout the 18th and 19th century, you have different poskim jumping different ways. Some of them go with the Bach and say, no, Sefer HaChassidim says you can't have a mixed gathering because you can't say Shia Simcha Mu'aynai. And some of them would go with the Lavush and say, these days we don't have a problem. So you really have two different minhagim going through the 17th, 18th, and 19th century. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was very important in number 32, and then we'll get to the modern day Pesach. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, and he was in Hungary, and Hungary was quite a separate environment. Tzrichin lizaher, you have to be careful. Number 32, shelo yochlu anashim v'nashim b'cheder echad. He said, that's it. You can't even have a machita. You can't even have separate tables. You have to have the men and women in separate rooms. She'im ochlim anashim v'nashim b'cheder echad, ein omrin she'asim ke b'ma'oinoi, ki ein simcha k'shayet zahara sholim. And that became, as people know, a minhag which was especially by the Hasidim and the Hungarian communities. This was a well-known minhag. Where does that leave us today? Let's go into the 20th century. So I would say to you that there are four basic approaches that we find in the 20th century. One approach is that separate seating is absolutely required. Possibly even with a machitza, because it's not just about mingling, it's about seeing, maybe even different rooms. Have a look here in number 33 at this very harif statement by Rav Moshe Sternbuch Shlita. Rav Moshe Sternbuch, I'm sure people are aware, is a very senior posek in Yerushalayim, but he used to be in South Africa. And he says, the Khan, number 33, Johannesburg. Here in Johannesburg, Ruba de Hachasnas Mu'uravin Mamash. Most of the Chasnas, the South African community, they didn't have mixed, they didn't have separate. They were, first of all, they were Litvish. On the whole, the South African communities, and the Litvaks didn't do separate seating in the same way. So they have mixed seating. The Yoshvim, the Shulchan Echad, they even have in one table, Anashim v'Anashim. Ubavon, they say Nuhar before our many sins, Rabbanim mishtatvim b'chasnas. Rabbis even go to those weddings. Umisha nimna mileashtatvot mistaklim alav, kekanai v'tamhuni. And anyone who says they won't go is looked on like an extremist. Or like, it's weird. People are looked upon weirdly if they won't take part. Uladati, according to my view, he says, Hamishtatvim, those who take part in mixed weddings, Oivrim bazeh isurim chamurim, they are doing very serious averes ma'od, Umachalalim shem shamayim barabim. And they're doing chilul Hashem barabim. Ubavonaseinu harbe for our many sins, yesham rabbanim. There are even rabbis, afilu besmachot shelahem, even at their own simchas, Osim Kain Rahmanul Islam, that even the rabbis make mixed seating of their simchas, the Hain Bichal Choitim, and they are sinners, Ummachtim at a rabbim, and they cause the rabbim to sin, Umisha Oise Kain, or Afilu Mishtate Besimcha Gazar, Hain Bichal Choitim, Ummachatim at a rabbim, Shehari Osan Ishtate Besimcha Gazar. He doesn't leave you in any doubt. Mixed seating is completely inappropriate, and totally Osa, there's nothing to talk about. What about the Levush? What about the Levush that said, by us, we used to it? So the Poskim who take this view, they play down the Levush. They say, look, maybe he never meant that Lechatchila, he just learned it as a Limud Tchut, he just said, look, I have to explain the Minag in Poland, this must be what it is. Maybe the Levush only allowed separate tables without a Mechitza. Meaning the Levush wasn't talking about people eating on the same table, necessarily. And maybe the Levush wouldn't say the same thing today when we have not only mixed seating, but people dressed in all sorts of weird and wonderful ways, not the way they would have dressed in Poland necessarily in the 17th century, and therefore they downplay the Levush, and it may be a good argument. In separate societies, for example, in Hasidish societies, where many times the men and women really are separate, it could be completely inappropriate to have a mixed wedding where indeed people will be in an environment which is one that they're not used to. So that's one approach, clearly. A second approach, which many of the Litvish poskim take now, is that separate seating is required lechatchila, but mixed is acceptable where necessary. And Rav Moshe Feinstein has two tshuvas on this. In the first tshuva that he wrote in 1946, he seems to say very clearly that men and women have to be separated at all times at mixed events, midoraita. So there has to be a mechitza, they have to be separated, and he seems to be very unequivocal about it. However, in 1951, I haven't got time to read them all, in number 35, he writes slightly differently. Look in number 35, Markham Kibbutz Ledivrei Harashut, when it comes to not shul, in 46 he's really talking about mechitzas in shul, but even, although he extends it, and he says in number 35, when it's talking about non-tefillah events, but after chasnas, Mesukani, I'm not sure, he says, im yesh iser zeh ba'ofen shaleka chashash yichud. I'm not sure it's also to have mixed seating, says Rav Moshe, as long as there's no yichud problems. And clearly he prefers it very much if you don't have mixed seating, but he opens the door where necessary to do that. Interestingly, it's reported, Rav Moshe Feinstein made four chasnas. Two of them were completely separate, no mixed at all. Rav Reuven Feinstein's wedding was reported to have had some mixed tables to accommodate people from the other side who wanted mixed tables. And apparently at Rav Moshe Tendler's wedding, it was the entire Tendler family sat mixed. Okay? And that's the chasna that Rav Moshe made. And everybody knows that if they went to chasnas from 40, 30, 40, 50 years ago in America, wherever, that senior poskim of the American Haredi community, regularly, if they didn't make for their own families mixed, they regularly attended mixed weddings. I spoke to a number of people on this. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky went to many, 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 many mixed chasnas. Okay, good, with their family, and maybe they weren't sitting on the same tables, etc. But this was something which was done much more in that community. So I think Rav Avadi Yosef puts at the end, he says for the Sfaradim in number 36, they should have separate seating, but he understands that B'dieved, the position of the Levush, is there, and therefore he opens the door, unlike Rav Moshe Sternbuch, who said, no way. Go over to the last page, and I'll show you something interesting that I was given by the family over here. He says page nine. There are two other approaches. One approach, I think, is that some communities take the view, page nine, that mixed seating is a legitimate minhag. We saw all the way through the 17th, 18th, 19th century, there were classic poskim that upheld this minhag based on long-standing communal norms. And therefore, there are people that will say this is acceptable, even lachatchila. Rav Yehuda Henkin, interestingly, he ruled that mixed seating is not ideal, but it's permitted. But it should be avoided, shouldn't be encouraged any more than it needs to be. Meaning, it's not a mitzvah to have mixed seating at the wedding. It may be appropriate given the minhag, but it's not a mitzvah. Others question this and say, look, the whole community has shifted to the right. And therefore, who are you to make a mixed wedding? In some societies now, there is not even a possibility of making a mixed wedding. You will be pariahs. Even in societies where they would have made a mixed wedding 20 years ago, some people question whether we still can. And finally, I brought you that there are others that you mentioned over there that are actually concerned at the push to separate weddings. And they want there to be more mixing, especially by the singles. And I brought you a reference to a famous, some say infamous, shmooze by an important rav in America, Rav Aaron Rakefet from YU, where he gave a shmooze, a very strong shmooze, where he was very worried about all this separate seating, and he says some very strong words against separate seating because of where he says people are coming from when they do that. I gave you the link to it. You can listen to it. It's very, very interesting. And finally, I brought you a picture that I was given of the City and East London Observer from 1938 in London, where the headline of the paper was Bride Forbidden to Dance with Groom, the Strangest Wedding for Years. And it records an example of a separate wedding. No one had ever seen anything like it before, apparently, according to this newspaper, although don't believe everything you read in the newspapers, even if they're 70 years or more old. So I leave you to read that in your own time, if that's what interesting. It's not a very well-known publication, interestingly, it was one of the main publications that covered the Jack the Ripper story in the 1880s. That's a piece of trivia, but I will leave you to think about your mixed weddings or separate weddings, and if you want to know what we're doing at our wedding in 2 weeks, you can ask me afterwards. I wish you a very good week. Next week, please God, we're going to speak about whether the kala has to cover her hair under the chuppah at the wedding.